Access number 28668, Mr. Frank Rogers, Rail 8. Now, so what about when you left? The voyage to Hong Kong. Do you remember the name of the ship you went on?
Yeah, Devonshire.
What was that like? That's a trooper, isn't it?
Yeah. That, I was fortunate to be in cabbies on that. There weren't many cabbies on that.
So what was the trip like?
We had a typhoon at sea, would you believe?
Tell us about that.
Well, we was two days away from Hong Kong, and we hit a typhoon, and we had to turn rain and go into the storm because there was the theory was that she might have broke her back if she'd have gone in the direction she was going with the typhoon.
What was it like? I mean,
shocking.
What way?
And exciting. You was looking up like a wall of water. The next minute, you're looking down like that, and the screws used to come out the water. And when they hit the water again, coming down, you get a judder, like a clutch when you operate. And it was unbelievable. We had that for about 2 or 3 days. And one of the jobs of fatigue I got on that boat was getting blokes out of the toilets where the flaps on the, as I build the boats, the flaps will let it out, but it wouldn't let nothing in. But being it was so rough and it was out of the water, things that should be going out didn't go out, they come back in again, and there was blokes with arms and legs, not two or three, but caught a few of them, and they was unconscious with being seasick as well. It was worse than being in Korea for a little while. Yeah, the food on the boat, while then the typhoon, you could eat as much as you like. Nobody wanted anything.
Were you seasick?
Not on that particular trip. I wouldn't know. I have been since. I didn't tell you where I was seasick. You're across the channel.
Anything else about the trip on the Devonshire?
It was all organised, and the bullshit started creeping in a bit on the boat for going in a readiness to go to Hong Kong. And of course, when it docked, we had a regimental band, as they normally do, welcome us to the colony and all that. And then
now, would this be July or would it be August by then?
July. It was only
still
about
July,
yeah. It was only about a week from as Busan.
Now, where did you go to in Hong Kong?
The regiment was went up straight up to the new territories and took over camps from the. Fan Ling. The camp I was in was Fan Ling Gardens Camp. It was called. Right next to the railway station.
And what was the camp like?
Smashing. They got nissenuts again. That word come up again.
What were the huts like? Just like the ones in England?
Yeah, there was one up, one down, bunk beds, type of thing. Concrete floors. What were they called? Fans, electric fans, because it was red up when we got there. The cookhouse was not far from the billets, which was a good thing. Tables and chairs all laid out, and one or two civvy chinks used to look out of things there. And I think one or two. I don't remember our regimental cooks cooking in Hong Kong. I think it was done by Chinese. Yeah.
And how did things settle down? I mean, you mentioned Bull. How much of a return to Bull was there?
Quite a lot. I mean, there'd be a parade and rifle drill on the camp square, and we'd have with the new chaps that's coming into the battalion, they had to be, because every battalion's got different little things, different on the parade ground, but they all got to amalgamate, get that sorted out, and it was all in preparation for going. What we call colony guard, or Flagstaff House, Governor's House in Hong Kong, with Buckingham Palace, equivalent to a Buckingham Palace Guards Lock in England. Not, you know.
And who would the whole battalion do that, or just some?
It's battalions that took their turns in doing it. In the Essex, we was there about 3 or 4 weeks, I think, in 4 week cutting the air job.
So what was it like acting as governor's guard? Or?
Yeah, well, I was on escort duty. We had a platoon doing that. That was, and what it was, you had any blokes who had been locked up, and they wanted to go to the hospital with one thing or another. But the platoon had to do an escort on lorries to take them from the prison to the hospital. And when you was in the prison, it's not very nice because you had a double, and the prison officers, they treat you, you have to do the same as what the prisoners do. So that wasn't very nice, but that was my particular job, because I've been a bit of a short in the leg. They had the tall ones to do a load of the guards, actual guard, but it was quite an experience. It was a good setup.
So you didn't actually do any guard duty yourself for the
government? Well, not on that particular.
You were on the prison.
Yeah.
Anything else you were doing while you were family?
Border patrols, again.
That's about the border patrols.
That used to consist of one platoon, English police officer, officer, not constable, and chinky Chinese police regiment, muleteers for carrying all, and we used to do a certain section of the border where the, even in them days, the communists used to come over the border and trade, like the fishermen on boats. And some parts, the water was only as far from the bungalow, the roof of that bungalow, to here.
Well, so about 50 yards.
Yeah, he was really on the edge of the border, you know. And because there used to be fights, and one of somebody would get knifed, and that's, it was just a take record of what was going on, you know, from week to week. We had a week or a fortnight of that.
Yeah. Did anything notable happen while you were doing it? Or?
Yeah, I got caught for doing a bit of cooking, and thought, fancied my chance at riding a mule, which the mule beat me. when we was resting at Woodnall's undergive lot. That was in the rest time. Yeah, that was a good thing. And the next thing, when we used to have one day, sports day in Hong Kong.
What was that like?
Swimming. Going to Hong Kong, the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club, where the duty officer of the HMS Tamar was the Hong Kong base for the Royal Navy, and we used to go. We borrowed. That was a part. But one person had got to have some experience of yachting, and there was three of us on these yachts, and one bloke said, "Oh, I know how to do these. I'm been on these years." Of course, we undone the mooring rope, started off, pulled the sail up. He hadn't dropped the keel. So as soon as the wind cut over, it went. The duty officer from Tamar, he see what state we was in, and they come and sort of pulled us out of the water. And with that, we got sorted out on other boats, and we had a full day sailing, and it was fantastic in Hong Kong Harbour. That's one of the highlights over there. Weekends we could go to the Army, Navy and Air Force, what's the name of it, like club, where you could book up for two or three nights. This was in Hong Kong Island, this was. It's like another type of naffy, and you get good grub and a night's kit there for next to nothing. That was a favourite place.
What was Hong Kong Island like?
Smashing. I used to spend most of my time. I didn't spend much time in Kowloon. I thought Hong Kong was a better place to be, more interesting. There were too many chinks in Kowloon, not so many in Hong Kong. Tolgabam Gardens was one of the features. And I forget, Spy Hill something it was called, one of the real high positions in Hong Kong. You could see all the island itself. I can't remember that, but I remember Tolgabam Gardens here and there. That was a nice setup.
Did you go drinking again? Or?
Oh, Christ, yeah. This went on continuous. If you went on leave or an OTA, you always finished up having a few bevies. Yeah.
And anything, what happens next then? So you're not there that long, are you? But
no.
Anything else happened while
you're
out?
I got drunk one night and I got split up from my mates. And I was on the Star Ferry that run from between Kowloon and Hong Kong. And I was really under the weather. And the missus has heard this before. And they slung me off the ferry at the finish, unbeknown to me. I didn't know where I was. But I've managed to find Kowloon railway station. Well, I fell asleep in the waiting room. But when I woke up in the morning, I thought I'd gone, that's where I finished up. I didn't know I was where I was. It could have been any. And I thought I'd gone over to Red China. So the only thing was that woke me up was that the Chinese family were near me. They put the kiddie on my lap sort of thing. And that's what woke me up. And I thought, try and eat late. Yeah. And then when I got back to camp, I was on close arrest for 3 days for not being back in camp in time for first parade, so they said. But that all got squashed. And I managed to come out on time. Because if you got 28 days inside or anything like that, they put up what they call a group on. And that's 14 days.
Any other stories of this time?
That was the last thing that happened to me before I come on Demo. Yeah.
Did you have a Demo party? Better place to have a party, I suspect.
We all had a Demo party.
What was it like? What was yours like?
Well, we stayed in the local Fanling town. It's a small village come town in the dance halls and that there and there. Everybody got well oiled and made the way back to camp.
And were there many of you going at the same time, or were you pretty well on your own? Or?
There was only six of us that went to the battalion, and one of them got he went to Brigade HQ. But there was five of us left on our intake, and we got on the New Australia command.
So tell us about the journey back home.
Pretty good. We had dining room facilities for eating. New Australia.
The New Australia.
Oh, it's all that, or Empress of Australia. I can't remember. Because I've seen Empress of Australia on somebody's photographs. And I might have got that wrong, but I think it was New Australia.
When was this? In November or? Or December?
December, yeah.
Tell me about that trip back. What was it like? Were you just as a draft, just the six of you, five or six of you?
Well, out of our regiment, yes.
Oh, yeah, there'd be lots more. Oh,
there'd be other people, yeah, a hell of a lot. I was in a cabin with three jocks, and they was all service corps, mate. They worked on the motor torpedo boats in the harbour, going around the borders and that, see what was going on. And We always had a good drink and playing cards for cigarettes, and then we'd finish up. All the tobacco used to come out of the cigarettes. It always did. Finished up with a load of paper. And facilities on the boat was great for us. There were no bull or anything. Might have been grabbed through what I call a fire picket job, but that was easy, that was.
And what route? who you take?
From Hong Kong, Colombo, Sri Lanka now. From there to Aden. From Aden, right through, because we couldn't get off of the boat at Suez because that was getting a bit stroppy. Then well, it was all from Aden. We didn't get off the boat until we got to Southampton.
And what happened when you got back to Southampton?
It was cold. New Year's Day, and I had three jocks in my cabin because we was in the British waters like New Year's Eve, and they closed the wet canteen when they get in 10-mile limit. And we stayed off Southampton waters until the morning because the jocks. So it's the first New Year's Eve I've ever spent sober. God, I'll be the stick for that. And of course, we disembarked and went to Worley Barracks in Brentwood.
That's your home, where you started from.
Yeah, that's the base. Yeah.
And was that where you were demobilised?
No. When we got there, the guard came on and says, "Well, we've got no record of you coming." And then we went to the depot office, and the officer there said, "Well, best thing you can do, you all joined up at Northampton. Northamptonshire, you said you'll have to go back there." So we, this was early on a Saturday morning, New Year's Day. And then we finished up at Wootton Barracks, just outside Northampton, and reported there. And they wanted to keep us in overnight. And I only lived in Northampton. So I thought, okay, I'm going to spend the night here. So we went to the sergeant's mess and got Sergeant Major Gell, who was there when we was training, and asked him if we could go home on the Saturday night. He said, "You can go home Saturday night and Sunday." He said, "Make sure you'll be here for Monday morning, first parade, else you'll never hear the last of it." And by the time, a bloke from Peterborough, he was so upset about going home, you know, his nerves and that, he never reported Monday morning. So we stopped a rocket for that. But he did have the sense to get his doctors to phone into the camp and tell him what was wrong with him. And being at Wootton Barracks, I was told immediately to get my hair cut. You know, I just got a nice DA going, looked like a human being again. I had that cut. I was for my cheek. I got coal fatigues. Well, going around to the Murray family delivering coal. The dirtiest job. It's very near as bad as cookies fatigue. And then the day come up. On a Thursday, that we were sent to Peterborough to hand their kit in. It was all up for the lads that lived at Peterborough. They could up off home, and then we had to come all the way back from, we left Northampton on a truck and come all the way back. And we handed their kit in at Peterborough and then come all the way back to Northampton. And they dropped us at the Market Square off the army lorries. And I said, "Don't forget, you're still in the army. You've got to go and do your TA."
Now, what about demobilised? Did you get a demob suit or anything like that?
Was No.
Out.
That finished out of the Second World War. That did.
So now, what were you going to do when you came out? You'd had 2 years out of your life. What were you planning to do? You'd been training as a carpenter. It was a council, wasn't it? You were a carpenter with a council by then. So what were we going to do? Did you just...
Well, the main thing, I was going to have some leave. So I had about 4 to 6 weeks leave. And mother said to me, "Are you going to start work again?" But it was the money that was leave owing to me from all the 2 years I'd been in law. And then I started work, went back onto my old firm, which they were duty bound to give me work for 6 months out of coming out of the forces.
And how did you fit back in? I mean, how did you find being a council carpenter after all that time?
Well, it was nice to be in Sibley Street, but I didn't sort of fit in straight away.
Why not?
One or two people said, "Well, you give you the impression that you've been wasting your time and all that kind of thing. They never got a lot of sympathy for going in. Yeah, even going to Korea and that.
Did that cause trouble, or?
Well, I had a couple of people say things to me, and I told them in no uncertain manner what I thought of their views. You know, that didn't hold me in good stead then.
How long did it take before you settled down to a civilian lifestyle? I mean, did you find it difficult to fit in?
It did, yeah. Actually, I think the first 6 months was the worst.
What problems did you have then?
Well, yeah.
I mean, one of your colleagues, you know, didn't appreciate you. What else did you have?
Well, the blokes I was in the army with, to start off, I kept in touch with one or two of them, but that sort of fizzled out as life went on. Well, I'm still in contact with one even now. We see each other every Christmas.
But I'm thinking about the problems you had acclimatising. What were
You kicked over the rails a bit when you was at home, you know. And
in what way?
You couldn't settle.
Were you drinking more than you had?
Not really, no.
So what way were you kicking over the rails?
Well, life at home... It was all right, but it was such a different way of life to what you've been used to for the 2 years. It sort of sorted itself out, really. You know, I wasn't the only one. There was other people as well there was even a time when I thought about going back in the forces.
Now, tell me about what made you think of I mean, that would be as a regular.
Yeah.
What made you think of that?
Well, I thought I might get to know some of my mates who were still in there, but a lot of my mates had been demobbed, so I was sort of barking up the wrong tree there. It was just that, well, I thought, being in Hong Kong and that, and life is not all hardships in the army, you know.
What made you decide not to, then?
Well, I suppose I picked up with a gal or something like that, and you know, things change. Yeah.
Now, what about your job? Did you stay with the council working as a...
Well, I'd just done about 8 months, I think, and then I had a job. A mate of mine was in Korea as well. He was in the Royal Engineers. He said, "There's a job going at where was it in town, and they're paying good money." Left the firm, the corporation, and went to with my mate working on this firm with the money.
Was it a private captain?
Yeah.
And was this doing, what sort of work was that doing?
Private houses it was, and this was, well, bungalows mostly.
Now, tell me about your time as TA. I mean, which regiment were you joined to?
Well, the county regiment, the Northamptonshire regiment.
And which battalion?
I think it was the TA's battalion. I've got a funny feeling it was the 5th battalion.
And where did they meet?
At the old barracks in Barrack Road, Northampton.
Did they have a name, or was it just the old barracks?
Gibraltar Barracks. Our uncle used to be a civvy worker there.
So it's Gibraltar Barracks.
Yeah.
And it's Northampton. Now, tell me, what did you have to do with them? Firstly, what was the drill? What was the drill nights like? You know, when you had to report for the drill.
Well, we used to have to do. Two weekends. And two separate weekends, and a fortnight's camp.
So you didn't have to go to drill night?
No, I don't. Not. I can't remember.
Sort of Wednesday drill night. Tuesday.
I think you're right. I think. I don't know. It was once a month or that. I don't think it was once a week.
What would a drill night be like?
Well, it'd be just usual check you and see how things are going with you, and probably have weapon training, just brushing up on things like that, checking your gear. And then you saw in your book, say you attended it, and that'd be it.
What about weekend training? What was that like?
Not very good.
Why not? Tell us about it.
The first one I went to Thetford Heath up in Norfolk, and it's a bit isolated. I got collared for the sergeant's mess, waiter. How I got lumbered for that, I don't know. And I served somebody, the thing that stuck in my mind on that weekend, I served somebody on the wrong side, and I had no training for doing this job, mind you. And he gave me such a mavel, and I said, when I carried on, I'll see the corporal who was in charge of the sergeant's mess. I said, I'm afraid I can't go in there anymore. I said, I shall either tip something over him. I said, and I don't want to do that. I said, you can put me on a charge. I'm not going to do it. And I didn't. He didn't charge me. I'd just done some washing up and bits and pieces in the cookhouse. But that's some of the bad bits.
You weren't always a mess waiter at weekend camps.
Oh no, that was one off. That was.
So what would you normally do?
Well, we'd be in a platoon. I represented the company at shooting at a range at Stamford, just outside Huntingdon.
What was that shooting competition?
Well, that was between the TA regiments.
What do you remember about the competition?
Well, it was great. You know, we was firing the normal procedure, like army things, shooting against other battalions.
And how'd you do?
Not bad. Not good, but not bad.
So, what else? Anything else about the weekend training camps?
The fortnight one, we went to Fingrenau, and
what about the annual camps? What were they like?
That wasn't bad. It was the old routine again.
What would you do?
Get mucked up in crawling around in bloody mucky fields and just field training, you know, exercises and all that.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, you know a lot of the blokes because there were loads of local lads there, you know. You know, like in Sibley Street. We could manage to get down to South End on the weekend. Have we done it? I don't know.
Now, you had trouble, didn't you, getting away for your annual camp with your new employer? Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, the man who was working for at the time, that I told him that I've got to go to a fortnight's camp, the TA. And he said, well, you can't have that much work on. I can't let you go. I said, well, you better get used to the idea, because if I don't go, they'll come round and fetch me, the police will fetch me, which they would. So he didn't go much on it. Even when I got back, he was on a bed all the while, you know. Going on holiday and not working. I thought, it was a funny holiday this is.
You had to do what? How many years with the TA?
I think it was three or five, I can't remember. I know it packed up while I was doing mine, that they knocked it on the head.
So when would that be?
I've done two main camps, so two and a half to 3 years TA.
So till about 58?
Yeah.
And did you ever think of staying on? Because you could stay on as a normal TA.
I think some of the experience I met, what happened to me while I was in the TA, never happened to me when I was a national serviceman. You know, then it sort of changed me more.
What
of
kind
it.
Of thing? I mean,
the attitude. So you got a lot of older soldiers, sort of thing, that was in the TA. And I think that was the biggest setback for me, anyway.
In what way? How did they treat
you? Well, they treated you, never done anything, you know. And after some of them that used to do the shading never left England at all, you know. They're what they call glory boys. Depot wallers.
So you didn't like that?
No, I didn't like. No, I think we should have been thought of a bit more than just that.
So but when you left, that was it? You left them?
Mm. I never sort of wanted to, you know, I changed my mind completely, sort of, you know, just through them things that happened when I was in the TA.